Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The Bible says, be good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. I have a philosophy, for a lack of a better word, that I live by, and I think it's a philosophy we should all live by, and that is, wherever we go, we want to be a blessing to whomever we interact with.
Be a blessing. Sounds easy enough, but have you ever had an encounter with a waiter or waitress who seemed like they'd rather be doing anything else than serving you? Or maybe you're expecting a visit from a relative who always criticizes or disagrees with you on just about everything. Now, how can you be a blessing? Today on Practical Christian Living, we're in Ephesians 2, 14 through 22 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Let's pray. Let's ask God to bless this Bible study. Father, thank you for your word. It is rich. It is deep. It is meaningful. It is powerful. It is profound. It is life-changing. We can trust your word as our authority. We want to thank you that we are living in a day when the historicity of the scriptures has been confirmed over and over again by the Dead Sea Scrolls, by other archaeological finds such as the Moabite stone, the Sennacherib cylinder, which tell the same stories from the other side that have been found. Lord, we pray that we would be encouraged to do what we find in your word. Your word says that we are blessed when we hear and do, and we want to live under that blessing. And again, I pray for those that may be struggling with different things going on in their lives. Meet them there, maybe even speak to them today clearly about their own struggle. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're making our way through the book of Ephesians, line by line, verse by verse. This is an in-depth study. We now come to Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 14 and going through 22. I want to take some time to backtrack a little bit and just to consider what we talked about last week briefly, very briefly, because I had said something last week that was really important. I had said he's introducing a new topic that is going to matter in the future. Well, this is the future where it matters, so I want us to see that introduction of that new topic because of the point that he's making today. Now, in a world that is full of division, be it racial, cultural, political, scriptural, scriptures show us how we can be united. In a world where the world wants to divide us along political lines, along cultural lines, along denominational lines, God's word encourages us to be unified together for the cause of Christ. In fact, the scriptures teach that even this idea of sectarianism within Christianity, which would be denominations, is carnal. I'm not saying that being a part of a denomination is a bad thing. I'm saying if you are sold out to your denomination over other denominations, that is carnal. That really it's about Christ and lifting him up and us working together to be able to lift him up. Now, in this passage, we not only see how Jesus restores our relationship with God, but also creates a new humanity among us. How God takes the church around the world, the diversity within the church, and he brings them together to be one humanity. And I don't know about you, but I feel like in this day where we are being divided and pitched against each other, that this is a message that we need to hear and clearly understand what the scriptures have to say. Now, before we get into our text, we want to go back and look at our context from last week. I just want to briefly cover this. I'm not going to get into great detail with it, but we were told why we were created. Remember that? It was in Ephesians 2, verse 10. Paul said, for we are his workmanship. God is creating you. He's working within you to fine-tune you, like a woods craftsman would spend time with the wood to make it fit together for whatever he's creating. God is working with you so that you fit together for whatever God's creating for you. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're told why we are created. You're created for good works. As we interact with the world, we're going to be looking for ways in which we can help people. The Bible says, be good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. I have a philosophy, for a lack of a better word, that I live by, and I think it's a philosophy we should all live by, and that is, wherever we go, we want to be a blessing to whomever we interact with. I think about that in a very practical way. When I get the wrong food from a waitress, I want to figure out how I can be a blessing to her in that situation. A lot of times what it means is I'm eating things I don't like. That's a lot of the ways it settles down to. Because I just don't want to go when she comes over and says, how's your food? It's awful. It's not what I ordered. I said this, this, and this. And I'm sure she gets plenty of that. And so at times just saying, you know what? I can eat what's on my plate and I will be fine. Being a blessing any way you can, especially to those of the household of faith. These are good works. Jesus said that if you give a glass of water in his name, you will by no means lose your reward. So you think, well, what can I do that's a good work? How can I bless those who were in the world, especially those of the household of faith? It doesn't have to be anything extravagant. It might be if the Lord's really blessed you. The Bible says if you are wealthy, that we are supposed to encourage you not to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but be willing to share, that you would use that to bless the people around you. God has entrusted you with wealth so that you can be a blessing to the people that are around you. That's what we were told last week. And here's what it says in the very end of that text, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. So in other words, you don't have to go looking for them. God's prepared them beforehand. As you're walking through life, there's going to be opportunity to offer the bottle of water, to meet someone's need, to say, listen, I know you're struggling. I've got $40 here. I can help you out. I just want to bless you. Please take it. You're just looking for ways to be able to bless someone. Now, it introduces this new area that I didn't know what to do with because it's kind of between two verses we had to cover with the workmanship principle, but he's introducing a new topic, that topic we're covering today. Here's what he says in verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by what is called circumcised, made in the flesh by hands. Now, that's one of those verses that you read and you go, I don't understand. I don't get it. You kind of got to read it in context over and over again. What he's saying is this, that in their day, there were Gentiles in the flesh. They weren't born Jewish. And then there were Jews who circumcised in the flesh. So that both are dealing in the flesh, not always in the spirit. Not every Jew who was called, the people were called by God and God was working among them, not every one of them truly followed God. In Judaism, even in the law, we learn from Scripture, they had to operate by faith. The law couldn't do anything apart from faith. What is Hebrews 11? What part of Scripture is that? What's it called? The Hall of Faith. I started listening going, okay. So it's the Hall of Faith. So by faith, Noah, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Moses, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Samson, by faith, David. It's all of these men of the Old Testament living by faith. You and I are saved by the grace of God through faith. So not a lot has changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They had the law. The law gave them restrictions to move within, but if they didn't come by faith, they weren't following God. So just as if we take every church, everyone who calls themselves a Christian throughout the United States, there are many of them that are not genuine Christians. And we don't even have to go that far. We could say out of all of the people that will meet this weekend at Calvary Tucson, in all five of our services, Saturday night and four Sunday morning, that there will be some who are not genuine Christians. They will be among us. And so we need to clearly understand it. It's by the flesh that these things happened. So think of the Gentile world that was by the flesh. So God has Israel that he's called, and he's going to bless nations by the Messiah coming through the nation of Israel. So God chose and raised up Israel for a specific person to bless the nations of the world, the Gentiles in the world. Then you have Gentiles who are just opposed against the Jews. And these Gentiles are diverse. Think of the Gentiles in Asia Minor compared to the Gentiles in Asia, compared to the Gentiles in Africa, compared to the Gentiles in Europe, and so on and so forth. There were radical differences between all of these Gentiles, yet God lumps them all into one group against Israel, and that's where this text opens up. So we were once without Christ, it says in verse 12, this is because we were Gentiles, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenants and promises, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of the Lamb. God opened up the floodgates and invited the Gentiles in. And the Gentiles came in, and they all had different cultures. They all were made up of different races. They had different backgrounds. They handled things differently. And now they came into the church. One of the main hubs for the early church that we don't talk about much is Alexandria, Egypt. We follow the church in the book of Acts going up into Turkey and then over into Europe and then back over to Jerusalem and up into Rome. That's one line of what happened in the early church. There's also another line that we don't follow in the scriptures that takes Timothy to India, where Timothy starts a church there in India. We also see the Ethiopian eunuch going back to Ethiopia, and we find Ethiopian Jews there today living and connected back to that Ethiopian eunuch that came down there. We find Ethiopian Christians that are some of the Christians since the first century at that time. And when we think of Egyptian, we often think of Cleopatra. Right? We think of Cleopatra, she was Egyptian. She was really Greek, okay? She was not of Egyptian descent. She was placed into there. The Egyptians of their day looked very different. If you go and look at the mummies of the kings of Egypt, which there are a lot of them, the vast majority of them are dark-skinned. They are different. And the Coptic church that was in Egypt in those days was a radically different church. And God wants to bring all together into one. So this is we go to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, before we get into our message, I want you to see the title. The title of our message today is The Message of Jesus for Peace to a Divided World. You guys feel like we have a divided world today? And Jesus here in this passage, Paul, gives us the message of unity in the midst of diversity. It's very powerful. It goes against the philosophies of our world that want to drive a wedge between us, that want to point out our differences. There was definitely a move in the 60s, and Martin Luther King said it best when he said, "I have a dream that men will one day be looked at by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin." Well, people are not following that today. They are looking to continue a division, trying to divide in every way. We're going to see as Christians, we want to fight that divide as much as we possibly can. So the thumbnail that I have behind us has the word, the new humanity in it. So what we're going to learn is that God takes people from around the world and all of these diverse cultures, political backgrounds, cultural differences, and he brings them together in a new humanity. God has made in the church a new humanity. Now, let me read to you verse 15 of this text that we're covering today that has the phrase, the new humanity in it, and I want to read it to you in the NIV. The New King James uses the word a new man, and it doesn't really convey the message of the Greek. The Greek is best translated a new humanity. So let me read this to you. This is Ephesians 2:15. It's two verses into our text. I just want to just give you a preview of this. It says, by setting aside in his flesh the law and the commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. He wanted to take the Jews and the Gentiles who were radically different, look over their diversities, bring them together into one new humanity. Now, not only did he want to do that, he did it. So that throughout church history, there has been a new humanity where our highest identity is in Christ. Whatever other identity you may have, the highest identity you have is as a Christian. I am a Christian first. Then I'm an American. Then I'm a man. Then I may be an Arizonan. And then I may be a pastor. So my identities come down from Christ. It is Christ who is our greatest identity, and if we have divisions on other areas below that, our identity in Christ is always higher. Now, let's take a look at our text. We want to start in Ephesians 2:14. I had read to you Ephesians 2:15, but in Ephesians 2:14, it says, let me read you the whole verse. We'll come back and break down part of this. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, all of these vast Gentiles and Israel, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now, this is an important point. No matter our social differences, cultural differences, racial differences, etc., in Christ we are one. Again, I'll read you Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. What is the middle wall of separation that he's talking about between the Jews and the Gentiles? It's in the temple. The temple was an incredibly divided place in the Old Testament. The high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and that was it, one time a year. Then there was the holy place where the table of showbread was, the incense altar, the candlestick abra, and priests could go into there. No one else but priests could go into there, and they could take care of these things, these different things that were in there. Then outside of that was a place of giving sacrifices. Here, priests could congregate to give the sacrifices, and they would take sacrifices from individuals who would slightly move into that space. They couldn't go a long ways into it, but they could bring their sacrifices, and then the priest who could go all the way into it would give it. Outside of that was a court of the men, which were Jewish men. Outside of that was the court of the women, which Jewish women could go into, but they couldn't go into the court of the men. And outside of that was a wall that separated the Jews in the middle from the Gentiles. And so what Paul is saying is the wall of separation has been broken down. This is said in the book of Hebrews as well, that we now can go boldly before the throne. There is no separation. Each one of us are adopted into the family of God as children of God, Jew and Gentile. And you hear this all the time in the New Testament. There are no Jews or Gentiles. There is no male or female. God sees us all the same now. All of those divisions have been broken down. And that's the first point that Paul makes. And then he says, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, now verse 15, and having abolished in his flesh the enmity. So between the Jews and the Gentiles, there was this enmity. There was this fighting. There was this division. They didn't like each other. They spoke differently of each other. One side saw them, one side as being arrogant and believing that they were close to God, and they saw the other side as the Gentiles not really having that opportunity. And Paul writes, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. When Jesus died on the cross, that became the unity for believers and for Jews. This was always going to be the case. Whatever was happening under the law, whatever was happening among Gentiles, it was going to go to the cross. That is, he says, verse 15 again, the law of the commandments contained in ordinances so as to create in himself one new man. That's the phrase, one new humanity, from the two, thus making peace. Now, let me go back and read this again. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is in the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances. So there are 622 laws. The Jews have to do things like they can't cut the corner of their beards. This is why you see Jews that have the spirals coming down off of the side of their face. They have to wear an undergarment that has tassels that hang down below their jackets. And this is why you see Jews that have their tassels that are hanging down the corners of their garments. They had to wear a covering on their head. And this is why you see Jews who wear a covering on their head. Now, what God was able to do was through the centuries, have the Jewish people maintain their ethnicity clearly, so that in the last days, God could fulfill his promises to Israel. The Bible is full of promises. In the last days, I'll do this with Israel. In the last days, I'm going to do that with Israel. No one can say they're not there. There was a move to say that God had abandoned Israel, and the church is now receiving all of those promises of what God's going to do with Israel in the last days. But I've often said, you try to do that with your kids, promise one kid one thing and give it to the other kid. See how that works out for you. And on top of that, is it moral? Would God be moral if he made a promise to Israel and then said to the nation of Israel, I'm not giving these promises I made to you, I'm now giving them to the church. If I tried to do that, if I had the bank bill on my house and I said to Vantage West that I've got my loan with, I'm not going to pay you guys, I'm going to pay Wells Fargo. I'm paying it. How would that work out for me? At some point, I'd lose my house, right? At some point, they would say, you can't make a promise to one and give it to another. And so God has made all of these promises through these ordinances.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.